World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there, January 24th, 2018. Thanks for tuning in and joining us here today. I hate to be repetitious and say, man, have I got some stuff today. I got some stuff today. I want to be able to share, want to be able to throw it out there like a piece of red meat. Let's be able to chew over some of it. You know, I was kind of reviewing a little bit what we spoke about yesterday. One of the most profound things I think I've ever said, I said yesterday, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works, by the way, is the Bible says he'll put the words in your mouth. Christ said that you'd be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles, and think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour, what you shall speak, for it's not you that speak, but your Father that speaks through you. That's pretty profound. And a lot of times I find myself saying stuff that I know didn't come from me, and I catch it a lot of times on the rewind, on the replay. I didn't listen to yesterday's show. I haven't listened to hardly any of them this week. Just I haven't taken the time to do it. But the focus in yesterday, in fact, I might write about it. Today's my day to write my column at newswithviews.com. The profundity of the fact that the greatest religion that we face in America today is humanism. The exaltation of self, humanism. Everything I think really, really spins off of that. Communism spins off of that. Now, communism, they sell communism to us as it's good for everybody. It's good for everybody. And so it's the common good. That's not true. Because ultimately, when it gets right down to us, all of us, very few of us, live our lives without the Holy Spirit anyway. Very few of us live our lives for the common good. Very few of us do. Because it's innate within our nature. The selfishness is innate within us. It's a great battle we fight. Even those of us who've, I've been married 37 years, Michelle's still struggling to get, she went and got some antibiotic yesterday, still struggling to get over what she's been fighting. And, in this great marriage relationship that we have, sometimes I wonder if I'm even too selfish in that relationship where the two of us have become one and I don't carry her burdens enough. And, that's self. Ooh, that's a powerful thing, man. That's a powerful, powerful thing. And as I often try to help people to understand, if you would just look at you as I look at me, know me, and some of you out there watching know me, some of you know me through this show, you don't really know me. I know what I could be. I know what I was before I was saved. And I know what I could be without the Holy Spirit. If I were just given over to my humanly desires and wants and selfish attitude, man, oh man, I could be James Mueller. I could be a Robert Mueller. I could be one of those guys. And it's a gift and the restraining of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that has got my goose today, or my gizzard, whatever that word would be, is we're hearing so much that's not true. And the reason that we're hearing so much is not true is I happen to be, Jared, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I wish you would go there for me if you guys could. By the way, I got to say this again. I sat in for Bradley Dean yesterday. David Arthur is just, David, may your borders enlarge, brother. Because I believe that the message that you have to help deliver people out of homosexuality, Brother, that is so timely. We've got to remember that the scripture tells us, David, that what the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. That whole mess of your life and everything that you went through. I say, I don't know. I don't understand how it works, brother. I don't know how it works, but God intended it for good. He intended it for good. And I believe that there were that many heard that 2-day broadcast about your deliverance.
No.
And I just pray that
no, Coach.
Yeah.
It's a real blessing because someone messaged me this morning and said, do you realize that the Liberty of Sons radio show has been replaying your two interviews back to back since the first one took place? And I was like, what? And I went to it and I listened and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you know, what a blessing. Really, what a blessing. And I'm just amazed. And
brother, you're representing well, and I'm going to do all I can to open up even more doors to you folks. Listen, here's the dichotomy. That's a big word I learned back when I was in college. Die mean two. Okay, dichotomy means problems. Not problems, but intersection, dichotomy. Jesus Christ is both your personal Savior and the Savior of the world. Ooh, that's rich. Ooh, I just got a Holy Ghost bump on that one right there. He's your personal Savior, but he's the Savior of the world. Those two aren't the same. And in the gospel of Jesus Christ that is circulating around America today, we have the gospel of the personal Savior. We get that. But we don't understand that he's Savior of the world. And exactly what that means. To think that we've so Americanized Christianity. Can we be honest here, man? Here we are in America. What is it that women got to put on vagina suits and go out and march for stuff they already got? We have everything that you could ever want in this country. And women go out and march for rights that they already have. I've never seen anything like that. The reason they go out and march for things that they already have is because their salvation is personal. I don't think they're saved. They're finding their own salvation within themselves, within my rights, my bodies. We read yesterday in Ezekiel, my rights, my body, my, the ultimate humanism, the ultimate selfishness. You know, that is what has happened to the gospel of Jesus, even inside our churches. It's a personal Savior, not a world Savior, not a Savior of the world. Those aren't the same.
Cash.
The world's the system. Buddy. Pardon me? I'm sorry? Somebody say something? Okay, I'm sorry. Savior of the world. Jesus is the salt of the earth. Salt of the world. In this vast world that we're going on, if we really believe that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is he is Lord over all, then that includes the Sudan, and that includes China, and that includes Britain, and that includes France, and that includes North Korea, and he's the Savior, he's the individual Savior, and he's the Savior of the world. And we have lost the idea of a world Savior, or as it says, God so loved the world that he gave, past tense, his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's anybody, personal, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The personal salvation of receiving Jesus in this world guarantees life out on the next world. We get that part. But he said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing. So in other words, when you get saved, you become salt. There is a job that you're supposed to do. And if you aren't doing that job, then you are good for nothing. And we have a Christianity that is personal only and good for nothing in regards to the world. That's the way I see it. Excuse me. And the reason that is what it is, and the reason the church is in the condition that the church is in, the reason that our government has been taken over by the devil's kids is because we're the salt, we're the individual salt, but we're not the salt of the world. We don't understand that Christ died for this whole thing. This whole thing he died for. We don't even hear that preach. So what I try to do here every morning is I try to take your personal salvation and apply your personal salvation to the world, to your obligation. Now that you are saved, you personally are saved, you have an obligation to be the salt and light that Christ has called you to be. Why? Because he didn't just die for you. He died for the world, whatever that means, whosoever in the world. And the battle in the world is over the worldly systems that are trying to seize authority away from Christ that he won back at Calvary. And he said, all power is given unto me, and I give it unto you. Go and teach everybody. Teach them everything that I've commanded you. You go do that, because I died for this. I died for the whole mess. And we don't get it. And we don't get it. And we think that we don't like politics. It's dirty. We don't like reading about QAnon. Why are we worrying about all that stuff? Because our obligation is to the world, not just to me, not just for my own personal growth.
Amen, Coach.
Thanks, Serge. Take what you have and pass it on. Pass it on. Oh, I got so much I want to share with us here today. So much. One of the things that I try to do, I hope you guys know this about me. When I was coaching, when we won or lost a game, I got credit. When the game was over, they came to me as the head coach, and they asked my opinion on what had just happened because I was in charge of the team. Ultimately. In today's America, if things are going wrong in the world, who do they take the microphone to? Who's the spokesman? Who's the mouthpiece? Who's the go ye into all the world? Who's the ye shall be brought before governors and kings as a testimony? Who's the one providing that testimony? And where are we hearing it? When in fact, for the most part, pastors and church leaders have washed their hands of it. They don't want anything to do with it. They just talk about spiritual issues. And so therefore, the commentary on the culture, the commentary on the condition of the world, if you will, the commentary on the commercial, on the condition of Christianity and its impact in the world has not fallen to religious leaders, but to conservative mouthpieces. To the point where when you walk into your local church, and you are not hearing, so you're hearing in your local church personal salvation and how to have your best life now, how to live your life now. And there's no vision for anything outside that church. You know, whoever they would be, when people runs for office, the church doesn't come out in support of him because why? Well, they've been taught your salvation is personal. And Judge Moore is not righteous enough. He has sinned. He clearly has sinned. I can't vote for him. Not understanding the overall picture. Am I making sense?
Perfect sense, Coach.
Yes,
I'm
of
in chapter
course.
Four, I'm in chapter 4 of Timothy. Chapter 4. Okay, Lord, I'll say that. Fellas, you cannot read or understand the Bible without the indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Can't do it. Somebody commented to me the other day. I can't remember where. I got an email, I think it was. No, I remember who it was. Said to me, Coach, you know, it's amazing. I listen to you. You read through that King James Bible. And my goodness, you don't miss a beat. Why is that? He said, I like to use the NIV, or I like to read one that's a little bit easier for me to understand. I like to read those. I said, well, are you ready? You hear people quote the NIV. When somebody is speaking the word of God, I'm going to tell you something. See, the King James, I'm not a King James only guy. It's not the Father, Son, and King James Bible to me. Okay, I'll make that very, very clear right now. The Lord can save you through any version of it, interpretation, any translation. That's the word. See, a translation, interpretation, to interpret gives your understanding of what you just heard. That's an interpretation. They talk about the interpretation of tongues. When somebody stands up and they gives a tongue and somebody interprets it means gives your, this is your opinion of what you just heard. That's an interpretation. A translation is an actually word for word written down. A translation is not the same as an interpretation. You with me? We're losing it in the interpretation. So I said, well, listen, I've always been a wordsmith, and I love the Old Testament, because the Old Testament, it just has a rhythm to me. It just has a rhythm. Like, for instance, right now, I can hear the rhythm of the Old Testament, the King James. I can hear the rhythm of the King James in my mind through memorization. I hear it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Accept one to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And see, that rhythm in my mind and in my spirit, I hear that. I hear it. And when I read it, I have that rhythm in me. There's a rhythm in this thing. There's a rhythm. There's a power in this. And I'm going to tell you something. When I read the New English Version, I don't even know. When I read the, tell me what, another one. When I hear Roger on his sissy Bible, I don't hear the drum beat. The boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. Does that make sense? Because it's living and breathing. This is so powerful, this word. And one of the things they want to do is to change the translation. Because the word, as it's written, has its own cadence and its own power. I had to get that out.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Hey, Coach, you know why I love the Old Testament? The reason why I love the Old Testament, it is the letter of the law that bringeth death. Brother, unless a man dies.
I'm going to talk about that.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Unless a man dies, he can't have life. It is the spirit that giveth life. But a man must first die in order to be birthed in the spirit. And the letter of the law bringeth forth death. And that's what killed Paul.
Amen.
I love the Old Testament.
Oh, brother, I do too. And see, I just think. Listen, the meaning is lost in the translation. I'm gonna tell you that a lot of times, I'll tell this as a secret, Roger. Sometimes I'm reading something and I'm trying to say, I mean, in the Old Testament. And sometimes I'll go grab a sissy Bible, and I'll see what the sissy Bible says, not because I want to compare the two, but I'm wondering if maybe this sissy Bible gives me a different translation that might make this make a little bit more sense. But see, what's happened to all of us today is we say, well, I'm not going to read that King James because I have a hard time understanding it. If that's you, you better check something. Because you mean to tell me that God has written the King James Version and you can't understand it? Was he trying to confuse you? What? And I would say this. The more you read it, the more comfortable you become with it. Sorry, Roger. Not beating up on you. So I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I'm sorry. You got to do your 2 Timothy. I'm looking down at my Bible rather than looking up. Excuse me. I hate to call. That is so rude. I'm sorry. Just come. Sorry. Okay, Silverman, are you there? Yeah, I think I saw him in there. I don't see him this morning. Okay, I'll read it. I charge you. What does that mean? If you want to, if you get around to it, if you have time, whenever it fits into your schedule, I charge you, man.
I command you.
I command you, I charge you, therefore. Now, Paul's just written, notice also the last day perilous times shall come from men shall by love of his own self, proud, blaspheming, disobedient, parents without natural affection, of a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, and such men turn away. He's just written all that, okay? So after he says, I've told you all this, I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Well, that whole thing would preach. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's where I'm heading. I'm sorry, Jared, I forget that you put it up on the screen for me there. I've got to find your name. Yeah, there you are. I don't know why you appear right in the middle. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What does it mean to endure? See, the scripture says to endure to the end. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Not everybody. Those who endure to the same. And how come you can't endure to the same? Because you won't even endure sound doctrine. You won't even endure sound doctrine. That's what it says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they go heap to themselves bunches of teachers, books by teachers, tapes by teachers, CDs by teachers, all going out finding what? Someone who's going to itch their ear for them. They're not looking for the truth, and they're not looking for sound doctrine, because after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's the people who are getting what they want. They walk into the church, and they want to feel good, and they find some guy that makes them feel good. And if he doesn't make them feel good, they go to the next burger joint.
Amen.
And so the pastors are in their churches, and they're trying to do whatever they can, and they're trying to figure out what flavor of burger will keep them coming back. They're no different than McDonald's or Burger King or Five Guys Pizza. Why? Because the people got itching ears. They won't endure sound doctrine. So they turn their ears from the truth and turn it unto fables. Hey, Jared, there's a great word to look up in Webster's dictionary, fables. Let's do that real quick. Fables. Turn their ears to fables. The fables are fictitious. Need I say more? A fictitious narrative. Hey, Jared, let's go to Webster's 1828 and see what it says about a fable. Aesop's Fables. You guys remember those, don't you? I used to love those things.
Absolutely.
A fable is the radical sense is that which is spoken or told, a feigned story or tale intended to instruct or amuse. Oh, my goodness. Heaping up for themselves. Where is that? And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto feigned stories intended to instruct or amuse. A fictitious narration intended to enforce some useful truth or precept. Two, fiction in general. It's fiction. A fable's fiction, normally. The story is a fable, an idle story, vicious or vulgar fictions. The plot or connected series of events in an epic or dramatic poem. Falsehood, a softer term for a lie. Is this unbelievable?
Wow.
And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fictitious lies. But watch, you, go back to the scripture. But watch you, thou, that's you. Hey, buddy, he's talking to. We ain't talking about them fables. We're not talking about those fable folk. We ain't talking about them fablers. No. See, I'm talking to you, dude. I'm talking to you. But you, watch in all things, buddy. You endure the afflictions, you do the work of an evangelist, and you make full proof of your ministry. Fables. Now I have to make a connection to something yesterday because I just have to do it. I got some emails, and I like for people to, through their own eyes and own ears, to see verification of what I told them to be the truth. Okay. People are going to heap up to their ears, up to themselves, itchy, heap up to themselves having itching ears. They're going to pile all this stuff up. You know what we've turned? We've turned to punditry. Hey, Jared, that'd be a good word to look up. Sorry. Pundit. Fox News is full of pundits. The radio is full of pundits. Didn't even have that one. Wasn't even a word back then, pundit. Another one of those made-up words. A pundit. The Five on Fox News is full of pundits. Experts. Guys standing in the well of the Senate, they're pundits. What is a pundit? A learned person. A person who gives opinions in an authoritative manner, especially through the mass media. I guess so. Huh? The Five on Fox News. There's some pundits for you. Anybody ever ask yourself, where did they get their credentials? What made them a pundit other than Fox News says they are? But why would Fox News say that they're a pundit? Because there's an agenda at work, folks. And conservatism is not Christianity. Oh, Lord.
No, it isn't.
It isn't. Okay, so hey, Jared, just go to stuff there real quick. See if that's what I'm looking at. Yeah. I made a comment yesterday. About, I think it was Salem Media, the fact that they had Jews, nothing against Jews, but Jews don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Okay. They don't. And dare I say this? I'm just going to tell you the truth. Most Catholics don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, they don't. It's funny because Pastor Dale said to us earlier, the letter of the law. Hey, Jared, let's do that real quick. Let me backtrack here a second, Jared. Let's go to, it says the letter kills on the stuff that I sent you, Jared. It's 2 Corinthians 3. And see, because our pastors are not telling us the truth, because we're heaping up, because we want to know more about conservatism. We don't want to know about Jesus. We want to know about conservatism. We're heaping up Limbaugh and Levin and Savage and the Five and Tucker and Laura Ingraham. And we're heaping up all of these secular conservative teachers because we have itching ears. Itching ears meaning we want to know. We want to know. So we're not finding out from the pulpit. So where are we going? We're going to Fox News. Rush. And then I listen to Rush and I feel better after that. Oh, Lord, this is good. Where am I, Jared? 3 verse.
Dave?
Yes.
Dave, we're looking for hope. We're looking for hope when we go
yes.
to Fox News.
See, the itching ears, Roger, isn't necessarily a bad thing. Their ears itch and they're looking for something. But they're not. It's the truth that they set them free, but they don't really want the truth because the truth is convicting. If I go into church, I talk about abortion, it will convict people. Well, that doesn't fill the pulpit. Those people go get those ears itched someplace else. But they're looking for a solution. The gospel is what sets us free. Jared, I think let's go to 6. I think it's 3:6. I thought I'd written it down there that I didn't. No. There it is. Okay, let's start with 1. Now that I see where it is, let's start with 1. Okay. Do we begin anew to commend ourselves? Commend ourselves. I love the King James. Or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you or letters of condemnation from you? In other words, do we need somebody writing letters telling you how good you are and how smart you are? Is that what you all doing? Itching ears! You got itching ears? People telling you how good you are and how righteous you are and how smart you are and I love your church. He said, no, dude, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. That right there is so powerful. Hey, David Arthur, you're an epistle, brother. You are an epistle, and it is written on your heart, and it's being read by all men. Verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not written on tables of stone, not the law, but in the fleshly tablets of your heart. The law, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. The law became alive. And such trust we have through Christ to God word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter of the law, but of the spirit of the law, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Meaning what? If you're reading the Bible and you're following the Bible without the spirit, see, the Bible says that the law is the schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. It's the law that leads you to Christ, so he writes it on your heart, so your life becomes an epistle read by everybody. I get in trouble because I can't stop bringing up Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen,
brother. I can't stop bringing him up.
Nor should you stop.
Coach.
Why? Because I'm filled with him. It's written on my heart. See, I can't stop talking about it. Yes, yes, David.
They are seeking. You're right. They are seeking. But it's this culture that's been conditioned to accept everything that's easy and you know, that's good enough for them. It's not something to take them that step further. And that's what it is, because people are seeking. There are a lot of people that want freedom, but there's a lot of people that don't know the freedom's available to them because they don't know they're living in sin.
Because, listen, brothers, you better hear me. The law is the schoolmaster. The pastor has to stand up in the pulpit and give him the law. You're a sinner. Let's not talk about how saved you are. You are a sinner, dude. You need a savior. Oh, you come to church every day and you have a form of godliness. But from what I can tell, once you leave here, you never mention the name of Jesus. You never witness. You never speak up. So in other words, you know the letter of it, but it ain't in your heart because it ain't written on your heart and lives out as an epistle before men. And the church doesn't even teach that. Doesn't even teach us to be that living parable.
Hey, Coach.
Somebody say amen. It's better than your amen.
Amen, brother.
Thanks.
Amen.
Amen, Coach.
Okay, so I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to make a lot of them. Hey, Jared, let's do this real quick. Because I talked yesterday about coveting. Here, go to 1 Corinthians. What do I have here? 1 Corinthians 12.
Hey, Coach.
You know the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments, right? Somebody says, was that you, Jeff? It sounded like you. I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I got to share this before you go on.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I made my first meeting with the Knox County Commissioners yesterday to sit in and kind of find out what goes on.
Uh-huh.
And there was some chit-chat before the meeting, a little bit afterwards, after they did their yays and nays on certain things. And there was a little talk of church, and all three of them, I'm taking it, that they go to church somewhere. The meeting ended up, a pastor, there's a guy that's a pastor that's running also for office. He came in at the end and then left. He wasn't there very long, but he wanted to talk about the worldly things, deep sea fishing and everything else. So one of the commissioners bring up topic on abortion. I don't know how it come up. It just... He brought it out of his mouth. So we ended up, and one of the commissioners knows exactly what we do as a church at the clinics. So I got to share with him the high traffic at the clinics,
in and out crying the nonsense that goes on with abortion in America. Then we went to the school issue about the boys, calling boys and girls anymore. Then I led into Pastor Matt Turella with the Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates on how we're to follow man's God's law, not man sometimes. So it ended great. They all sit and looked at me like, oh my goodness, here he goes. But it was a great,
yeah, but see,
it was good.
You know why it's good though, Jeff? You know why it's good, Jeff? Because they ain't really Christians, see? They muzzle themselves. When they have the opportunity, the position of authority to say, thus saith the Lord, they won't say, thus saith the Lord. They won't, they'll muzzle that ox. They'll put their mouth full of suckers so they don't have to say it.
Yep.
Do you understand that? This is, why do they hate Judge Moore? You know why they hate Judge Moore? Huh? Because he said it. He said it. Thus saith the Lord. He said it. They hated him. And not only they hate him, who do they trick? They trick churchgoers. They trick churchgoers.
They wound up destroyed. Sure.
They did vote on a picture that they're going to bring in. A church donated a picture to the courthouse, and they voted to bring that picture in. I'm curious.
That's a form of godliness. I don't even want to hear it. I would say the Lord doesn't even want his picture in that courthouse. That's what I would say. If they got to vote him in, he don't want to be in there. That'd be my take on it. That'd be my take. 1 Corinthians 12. Did I say what I say, Jared? Okay, Jared, go to the very end. Go to the very end. Because this is, I was going to take the time to read all this, but I don't have time to do it. Go to the very end of the chapter. Here's our problem in America. Keep going, brother. I think it's 31, I think. Talking about the members of the body. Look at this. Okay, listen. Verse 31. Hey, Roger, I thought we're not supposed to covet. No, it says, verse 31, but covet earnestly. What?
What chapter? Yeah?
Covet earnestly. 1 Corinthians 12. This is just before the love verse. Verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You covet the best gifts, and he's going to show you a more excellent way. Now, Jared, real quick, Exodus 20. I'm sorry. I have to make this connection to show you where I'm trying to go here today. God just didn't love you. He loved the world. You're the salt of the world, not the salt of the church. Ten Commandments, right? Roll down through that. Get clear on down, Jared. Exodus 20. Scroll on down there. Clear on down there. Clear on down there. Clear on down there. There we go. Stop right there. Stop right there, Jared. 17. Thou shalt not covet. And then it mentions some things. So you can covet the right stuff. You can covet spiritual gifts. You can covet the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you can covet that all you want to. Oh, you can covet the interpretation of signs. Oh, you can cover that all you covet that all you want to. But he says, listen. Don't you covet your neighbor's house? Don't you covet the neighbor's wife? Don't you covet his manservant? Don't you covet his maidservant? Don't you covet his ox? Don't you covet his ass? Sorry. Or anything that is thy neighbor's. See, it's all about having what somebody else has. If you're in that spirit, brother, that is wrong. And the entire Christian community is about coveting more stuff. Not more anointing, not more power, more stuff.
Yeah, Coach, that's what it is. Okay. It's a stupid butthurt. It's a dumb butthurt about the Democrats and the media try to convince us. Oh, don't go with the text. Don't go with the text because it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong for us to spend our own money, right? are they mental patients?
Well, Benny, it's the economy stupid, right? Isn't that what they told us? Why is it the economy stupid? Because even in the church, we've been taught to covet. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't we? Shouldn't we have a slogan that says it's the morality stupid? It's the morality stupid.
Yeah, and Paul, who wrote Corinthians, also wrote in Philippians, I consider everything as dung that I might know him and him alone.
Amen. Amen.
Coveting
Amen.
Of him, Amen. Not of the things of the world, brother.
Okay.
Amen, brother.
Thanks, man. I got to get to this, okay? Because this has been eating me alive ever since yesterday. Because I brought up Salem Communications, and you know, we have people giving us directions that aren't even, they're not even saved. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. First Psalm, blessed, if you don't listen to the ungodly, will you stop listening to the ungodly? Will you stop that? Blessed is the man who doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. So they walk into the church and they're not getting their answers. They got itching ears and they're not getting answers. And the righteous men aren't giving them the answers. So they have itching ears and they turn to fables. They go turn on Limbaugh. They go turn on Hannity. They go turn on Mark Levin. They go turn on Five. And they turn them on because they're conservative. And so they think, well, these conservative people, certainly I'm a conservative. They told me in church I'm a conservative. They tell me all over the media I'm a conservative. So I want to know about what's going on. I got itching ears. So I'm going to go listen to all these conservatives. Maybe all these conservatives can tell me what's going on. See, a conservative isn't necessarily a Christian. Can I show you? So sure you can.
Hey, Jared,
click on Catholics at Fox News. I don't care if you're a Catholic. I don't care. I'm going to tell you something. Unless you got the Holy Spirit inside you, you are a tinkling cymbal. Okay? Without the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, this is old. This is a little bit old. Okay? But you turn on Fox News. Brothers, I'm about truth. I want to know the truth. I don't want to know the conservative truth. Look on your screen. This is 2013. So things have changed a bit at Fox News. Fox News channel dominated by, as Fox News is the cable news station choice for most evangelical Christian, this information might be of interest to you. No wonder our people are confused. Rupert Murdoch, he's dead now. Chairman and CEO, holding company News Corp, was dubbed a Knight of the Order of St. Gregory by Pope John Paul. Roger Ailes, according to Newsmax, he's dead. Murdoch's still alive. Ailes is dead. Although he's not officially converted to Catholicism, he attends Mass every Sunday with his Catholic wife. Bill O'Reilly, man who's looking out for you, is a Roman Catholic. So's Laura Ingraham. So's Monica Crowley. So's Sean Hannity. The Morning Team, Steve Ducey, Brian Kilmeade, Roman Catholics. Megyn Kelly, she's gone, Roman Catholic. Four of the five ain't bad. Bechtel, Perino, Bowling, Gutfield, Roman Catholic. Guilfoyle, Roman Catholic. Judge Jeanine, Roman Catholic. Brett Baer, Roman Catholic. Allison Camerata, Roman Catholic. Ron Williams, Roman Catholic. Father John Morris, Roman Catholic. You're getting conservatism, maybe, but you're not getting the gospel. You're not getting the gospel truth. Would they let Judge Moore? Judge Moore's a pretty popular guy. Tim Tebow, pretty popular guy. Why didn't they put Tim Tebow on the five? Huh? No, because, wait, you're religious and we're conservative. So we're going to give you conservative values. Okay, now you can't pull this up on your screen, but stay with me a second. Laura Ingraham's a converted. I'm reading off my sheet. Laura Ingraham, the converted, a convert to Catholicism. Ann Coulter was raised Catholic. She's now Presbyterian, whatever that means. Unmarried at age 50. Both of them. Ben. Video and all that. Jewish. Michael Medved. Jewish. Mark Levin.
Jewish.
Jewish. Tucker Carlson. I did some research on Tucker Carlson this one. He's now the darn. You know, his father is the president of National Public Radio.
Really? You're kidding.
Is that something? Yeah, like this Tucker just kind of popped on the scene from nowhere, right? Huh? Tucker himself, if you just read up on him, just read up on Tucker. Tucker himself says he was raised in a secular home. in a secular home, Tucker Carlson. In fact, he used to be on CNN. Remember the bow tie on CNN? He was a liberal then. I don't know if you know that or not. Tucker used to be a liberal. Hey, Jared, while we're doing that real quick, now, are you guys ready? This is who's fighting the conservative fight every night for us, Tucker. This is the guy who's giving you those itching ears. Okay. Hey, Jared, click on Tucker. It says Tucker. Because I had to put this quote here by itself because I couldn't believe what I was reading.
Oh, no.
Are you ready? You ready? You see it there? Did I give it to you, Jared? Yeah, I did. I sent it. Jared takes a little bump.
Hey, Coach, I'm busting with a scripture over here to connect the dots because you said that with Laura Ingram, a converted. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. First you walk with them, then you talk with them, then you become them.
Right.
1 Corinthians 15:32, bad company corrupts good morals. You will become the product of the environment and the people that influence you hang around.
And think about this. Why are people being driven to Tucker Carlson? Because they're not hearing it in their pulpit. They got itching ears. They want to know. And so they turn to conservative Fox News because they told us we're conservatives. So I found this on an interview with Tucker Carlson. Are you ready? You guys sitting down? So the interviewer says, Tucker is talking about, he says, I'm a Christian. Tucker says, I identify as Christian. And if you read the whole interview, well, he may identify as one. And he talked about pursuing God and deeper things of God. And here, listen to this. So where did that pursuit, lead to you, Tucker? You listening? He's looking out for you now that Bill O'Reilly's on the run. Tucker says, well, I became convinced of God's existence. Boys, don't miss it. Law and spirit. Don't miss it. We're getting the law. We ain't getting no spirit.
Right.
We still go to the Episcopal Church for all kinds of complicated reasons, Tucker said. But I truly despise the Episcopal Church in a lot of ways. They're for gay marriage because it's trendy. It's another way to express how hip they are. They don't care at all what God thinks of it. Hang on. Because they actually don't believe in God. He's talking about the Episcopal Church, where he goes. And then the fact that they sanction abortion. Are you joking? A church is for abortion? What? Yes, somebody was saying something.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I walked by an Episcopal Church. I took a picture and they had a stupid banner with Black Lives Matter. This is a church?
Stay with me.
Coach, that Episcopal Church, the entire Episcopal picture in the United States of America, the Episcopal Church in the United States of America, is a foundational starting member, pushed it hard, member of that group of denominations that say there's other saviors other than Jesus.
Ah.
Right. Hey, Larry, I don't want to pee on your parade. There's evangelical churches that are saying that. It's not just the denominations.
No, there's 10 denominations that are part of that.
So let me finish this. You said, the questioner says, you said you and your family go to an Episcopal church for all kinds of complicated reasons. Could you uncomplicate that for us? Well, Tucker says, sure. Part of it's inertia. Part is we really like the people. Part is that's the world I grew up in. I love the liturgy. I can recite it without looking at it. He can't recite the word, but he can do the liturgy. Dumb stuff like that.
Yeah, but
am I going to defend it?
Psalms 1:2. Psalms 1:2 divides it all.
But I delight
in the law of the Lord.
It's totally indefensible where he goes to church. I'm a shallow guy, he says. That's why I still go to the Episcopal Church. But I like it. I just want to think. I just don't want to think too hard about my money going to these pompous, blowhard, pagan creeps who run the church. That's the conservative savior, Tucker Carl.
Wow.
Wow.
Am I making a point here? Dale.
Psalms 1:2. Separates judge more from the rest of them, all that stuff. Psalms 1:2. This is the synopsis of it right there.
Yeah.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates on it day and night.
Mm-hmm. And so listen, where are you guys getting your, where these people with itching ears, where are they getting their guidance? Prager, Jew. Let me go back to the list. Ingram, converted Catholic. Colder, raised Catholic, now Presbyterian. Shapiro, a Jew. Prager, a Jew. Medved, a Jew. Levin, hang on, Medved, a Jew. Shapiro, Jewish. Tucker, Episcopal. Rush, L. Rushbo, Methodist. Savage, who knows? Non-practicing Jew, Savage. Are you with me? You hanging in there with me? Okay, now. And we'll push another button. Hey, fellas, have I made this clear? I don't even care. I know what it's like to have spent 33 years in the Catholic Church, lost as a dog, and then finding Christ outside the church and the spirit of life that came into me outside that church. And the Catholic Church, God bless all my Catholic friends. You are following legalism and the letter of the law, and the scripture says that that kills.
Amen.
Right.
It kills. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Why would you pray to Mary? Okay, hang on. Jared? Well, good. I was going to say, I'll probably lose half my audience. Good. Jared, click on SCOTUS. You ready, boys? You sitting down? Y'all sitting down? I hope you are.
Strapped in.
Supreme Court of the United States. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does that say, Dale? Yeah, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. Law, is that what it said, Dale? I don't have it in front of me.
Delights in the law of the Lord.
They and delight in the law of the Lord.
Meditates on it day and night.
They meditate on it day and day night. Here we go. Religion of the United States Supreme Court. John Roberts, Catholic. Anthony Kennedy, Catholic. Clarence Thomas, Catholic. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Judaism. Stephen Breyer, Jew. Sam Alito, Catholic. Sotomayor, Catholic with a Jewish mom. Kagan, right. Jewish. Gorsuch, we got us a Protestant.
How'd that happen?
Except he was raised Roman Catholic and attends the Episcopal Church, which is basically the same. Do you see this?
We're one word, gatekeepers.
Sure.
Gatekeepers. That's what
gatekeepers.
We
got. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, what would the founding fathers say about this list of judges?
Oh, my. Well, first of all, brother, I don't know if you know this or not. In the original commons, you couldn't vote. If you're a Catholic, you couldn't vote. Did you know that? You probably didn't, because we don't know our history. You couldn't even vote. Now, how many of them was that? How many of them are Catholics? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
As a matter of fact, in the writing, the freedom of religion, they actually, when they wrote that, they wanted it to be freedom from Catholicism, but they couldn't do that. But that's exactly what that was written about.
Okay, so let's step back for that a minute, because I'm not trying to beat up on the individual Catholic. But if your training is in legalism, what did the Bible say? What did Paul say? The letter of the law does what? The letter of the law kills. What does it say? Dale, help me again. Psalm 1, verse 2. Maybe I ought to turn that so I don't forget that. What's it say? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight in the law of the nation.
His delight's in the law of the Lord. And when he studies the cases, he meditates on the law of the Lord day and night and night and day. Elena Kagan, what? She's meditating on the law of the Lord, you think? You mean to tell me? See, only a guy, the letter of the law kills. Only an unregenerated mind could look at the Constitution and find the spirit of death in there. Abortion isn't even in any way, shape, or form ever mentioned. Life's mentioned several times, and yet they look at that and find death in there. But why? Letter of the law kills, baby. Letter of the law kills. And human nature is such that a woman has a right to kill her baby so she can be happier. She can covet his life so that her life can be better. Oh, my goodness, I only got 4 minutes left. Somebody jump in here and help me. Help me bring this home. Now that I've made all the Catholics mad and all the Episcopals mad and all the dudes. If you're just following some denomination, baby, if that's where you are, God help you.
Coach.
God help you. Yes,
sir. Steve would like to.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, boys. As far as I'm concerned, there's two religions in this world. A Holy Ghost-filled Christian and the King James Bible, and the religion of the devil. There is no other religion. You are either a Christian. I'm nothing in this world. The world turned me away 70 years ago. Society has turned me away. My parents have turned me away. The military has turned me away. Everything that there is in this world that's turned me away. My Bible states that I should be away from this world, out of this world. I haven't watched a television since 1970. I don't own a television. All I am is an earthen vessel filled with the truth. And that truth is the Word of God.
Amen, amen, brother. Amen. Amen. So what do we see yesterday? We Amen. See Guy Benson come out as a homo. Who's he? He's one of the most. He's a young conservative who now he identifies as a homo, but he's so much more than that. But now he's giving conservative commentary to the rest of us conservatives.
Hey, I want to deflect a little bit of anger away from you, and I want to heap it on myself. You know, I mentioned the CUIC, Churches United in Christ organization, 10 member denominations plus one in current consultation to become a member. Those 10 denominations have signed a written agreement that there are other saviors other than Jesus Christ. That's just one of the egregious things they've agreed to. Oh, the accepting homosexual pastors they've agreed to. Oh, all using the same liturgy that guy loves so much. They all use a 5-year liturgy. I go through, you know, every 5 years, all the sermons are repeated again. But I tell you right now, those of you that still, I believe there are some people that are going to those churches that don't understand the depravity of what their denominational leadership has done. And they are in those denominations for maybe they're. What I'm saying is this. If you're going to one of those 10 denominations, get the hell out.
There you go.
But Larry, it's worse than that. Our evangelifish churches are living out the same doctrine. They're just not preaching the same doctrine. They're living it out. Our modern evangelifish churches filled with these millennials are not, they are ignoring not only the, see, they want the spirit of the law without the letter. You gotta have both.
Of course.
You gotta have both. The spirit, the letter of the law kills you. The spirit brings life. I agree with you, Larry, but it's deeper and broader and wider than what we all even understand. So the problem is not the pulpits.
It's those of us who have itching ears, and the chefs in the pulpit are simply serving up what the people want to eat. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Thanks.